One, two, three. Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. As every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us there. And I'm looking forward to today's show. By the way, our live line today is sponsored by my friends over at Why I Love Where I Live. It's our special Tuesday live line where the conversation that we engage in over the phone is sponsored by an organization that has spent years in Tucson helping us be tourists in our own town and appreciate the good things that are happening and why we love where we live. And you know, on this show, I try to strike that balance of appreciating what's going on well, but then also calling out some of the issues and gaps and opportunities we have to improve and build on what is going well. So always great to work with sponsors that, and I try to do it across the board, and I think I do, who are aligned with a future forward vision of Tucson and the Creative City Show. So 790-2040 is your opportunity to jump in at any point today to hang out with us in studio, 790-2040. Well, I believe Tucson is at a tipping point moment. I think what we do in the next 5 to 10 years is going to decide what's going to happen for the next 50. I think we're just in that moment. That moment is here. And an important piece of getting those next 5 to 10 years right, I believe, is how we get great ideas out of the U of A and great people out of the U of A into and staying in the community. So as a part of the 10 West Impact Festival, the first half of our hour today is going to be spent with Eileen and Shane from Tech Launch Arizona to talk about their work, their commercialization work, their tech transfer work, and then also their unconference coming up this week. And then the back half of the hour, we're going to talk about why the millennial urban lifestyle is about to get more expensive, changes coming to Uber and WeWork and DoorDash, and we're going to talk technology, more technology, and young people and cities today. It's kind of our what if day, our big idea day on the show. So let's get into it. Shane Reiser, Commercialization Network Manager, and Eileen Dingus, Coordinator for Venture Development from Tech Launch Arizona. Welcome to the studio. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
You have a big event tomorrow, so it is not lost on me how generous this is of your time to come in and hang out with us. Events kind of consume all the air in the room the week before and the week after, so thank you so much.
That is true.
And we'll get into that event briefly, but I'll let you decide who to start here. Tell us about Tech Launch Arizona. What's the big idea and what's the goal?
I'll take that. Tech Launch Arizona is the department at the university that helps university researchers and inventors get their ideas from their brains, from their labs, out into the world where those ideas can do some good. So we, for example, work with people who are designing new anti-cancer drugs, and we help them either market that to be picked up by an existing pharmaceutical company, or we help them make their own startup companies to make sure that everybody can get those anti-cancer drugs.
And if I can bounce over to Shane, I was giving Shane, I'm not even going to say a hard time because it's not a hard time, but Shane Reiser was a part of Tucson's innovation ecosystem before there was an innovation ecosystem. Shane was one of the first guys to get
called. Give me too much credit.
To start building this thing that we that we see today. And so it's cool to see this come full circle. You are part of networking, the commercialization network manager. Mm-hmm. Why is the work of Tech Launch Arizona so vital to Tucson and the region? Why is this important?
Well, I've been living in Tucson for about 4 years, but I've known a few people here who've been trying to build the startup community here for about 10 years. When I moved here 4 years ago, 5 years ago-ish, I started making the rounds, meeting everybody, all the different organizations that support the innovation ecosystem in different ways, trying to figure out how I can best jump in and help, given my background. And when the opportunity at TechLaunch Arizona came up to get involved, I jumped on it because I think TechLaunch Arizona is perhaps the biggest driver. I mean, the university is arguably the biggest economic driver in Tucson, right? Everyone knows that. And TechLaunch is the mechanism through which all of the cool stuff that gets invented, all the new knowledge that gets, I don't know, created at the university can come out into the world so that the rest of the world can benefit, whatever that looks like. So I think if we're going to, you know, grow Tucson into the type of city that we want to live and work in, TechLaunch Arizona is arguably the best way that I could spend my time. So that's why I jumped in.
So here
to
you
answer
are.
Your question, it why does. Is it important generally? Why is commercialization work important?
Well, I think you definitely hit on it. The U of A has to be a big driver.
Mm-hmm.
We could put the tag on it, but at the end of the day, it has to be a big driver. Cities don't do this if the university is not a piece of the puzzle. The U of A, and thankfully, President Robbins is all in from the top down, so to speak, on this. Eileen, are these great ideas coming from students? Are these coming from professors? Who's coming up with these great ideas that need to be taken out of the research lab, out of the classroom, into the community?
It's really the entire university community that comes up with these ideas, but for the most part, we work with the faculty, researchers, the graduate students, the postdocs, people who are a little further along in their careers. But we have had some great ideas come from undergrads over the past few years, even going through our iCORE program, which is kind of marketing 101 for scientists. I've seen a few undergraduate business ideas that I would never have thought of when I was an undergrad, so I'm very impressed with the work that they're doing.
I would imagine that the skill set it takes to come up with a great new idea is not necessarily the same skill set needed to get that idea to market, get it patented, get it sold, making money, whatever it is after the idea. Does TechLaunch Arizona try to be some kind of a matchmaker or an assist and say, hey, Professor ABC, great idea, let's help you get it to market, sell it, patent it, license it, whatever the need is?
It's a rare person that's good at doing both, right? That invented the technology and can run the company. The ones that have that capability become world famous because they can do both and they're magical, but they really don't exist. So the majority of the time, the faculty member or the administration person or the student at the university who invents something is excited about the technology. They're geeky and they want to geek out on building the technology and solving the problem, and they usually don't have the time or the interest or the skills to take that to market and be the CEO. Some of them do, though. So there's a little bit of a mix. If they have aspirations to be an entrepreneur and be involved in the business in either a leadership capacity or a smaller role after that startup gets launched, that's our job. Our job is to understand them, their aspirations, and then help them either match up with people out in the world who can come in and fill the gaps on their team, or help them grow as individuals and become the CEO that they want to become. That is a rare thing most of the time.
For sure.
And that is my job mostly, is hooking these inventors up with people outside the world in the community who can become CEOs.
Shane's our professional matchmaker.
For sure.
Yep. Yep, Shane's good at that. I was joking with Shane and Eileen in the green room that the word Shane and the word network go together really well.
It's my middle name, actually.
And yeah, Shane Network Riser.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if my opinion matters at all, and it doesn't at all, but
it does.
I have the mic, so I'll say it. I think TechLaunch Arizona made a good choice bringing Shane Riser to the team. And so I'm glad that you're in studio. This actually segues us into the next segment where we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive into an exciting event that TechLaunch Arizona is curating around the 10 West Festival, and that would be the Bridge Builders Unconference at 10 West. Tech Launch Arizona helps great people and great ideas out of the U of A get out into the community. Shane is a part of the whole drive to network and match innovators and inventors with startup services and CEOs and leaders that can help take the idea to market. The Bridge Builders Conference is focused on connecting and energizing the Tucson startup ecosystem. How do we take it from where it is to where it could be? It's a community-wide conversation on Thursday. I might have said tomorrow, but it's actually Thursday. But that's what we're going to spend the whole segment, next segment, talking about. The what, the where, the when, and how to get involved. We're with Shane Reiser and Eileen Dingus here on the Creative City Show talking about Tucson as an innovative city. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. 790-2040 is your Liveline opportunity, your Why I Love Where I Live Liveline opportunity to jump in. Do so. We'll see you in a minute. Tucson, welcome back to the program. You're listening to the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser, airing live daily, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10, here on 1030 The Voice. We're in studio with Shane Reiser and Eileen Dingus. Eileen is the coordinator for venture development and the NSF iCore site program manager for Tech Launch Arizona. And Shane Reiser is the commercialization network manager, aka matchmaker. Eileen is coaching me on the AKA. These are long names, but amazing results. I don't know. Maybe I should.
Long names and amazing results.
That's like our new tagline.
That's going to be my Twitter bio.
Somebody else has taken that, just to be clear, and I realize that. No, I'm just some commercial. It's trademarked. I can't. Yeah. But anyway, Tech Launch Arizona is an initiative, a network, an organization within the University of Arizona that seeks to take great ideas and great innovations and great inventions out of the University of Arizona and get them to market so they make a difference in the world and are marketed and sold and patented and licensed, that they see the light of day. It's important for so many reasons for so many people. And Tech Launch Arizona and Startup Tucson, as I'm aware, are collaborating on an event called the Bridge Builders Unconference at 10 West. I just want to be clear, because I think I said the wrong day of this week. It is Thursday, October the 17th, from 8 a.m. To 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to get into all the details. So let's start with Eileen. What's the goal of this unconference? Well, why do this, and why is it a part of 10 West?
Well, 10 West is all about innovation and how we can make things great in Tucson for the entrepreneurial-minded people who live here. Tech Launch Arizona is kind of limited in the work we can do to help our startups and our researchers once they leave the university. Once it becomes, I've been joking, that once Pinocchio becomes a real boy, we can't help them anymore. And that's because of various laws and regulations, and we don't need to get into all of that. But there are a lot of organizations in Tucson and around Tucson that can help those startups, that can help Pinocchio be a real boy when we can't. So what we're trying to do is gather all of those people into one place and build the bridge so that all of our startups, whether they're from the UA or not, can succeed and will then hopefully stay in Tucson. Because as much as we love getting our technology out into the world, it kind of makes us sad when they get released into the world and then go away.
Right.
We would love to keep as much as possible here in Tucson. And to do that, we need the help of organizations like Startup Tucson,
right,
like all of the various incubators and venture capitalists and all of the resources that are in Tucson that maybe not everybody knows about. So that's what we're doing on Thursday, is building those bridges.
Shane Reiser, you have worked on initiatives, or even before maybe you stepped into the role, there was different mentorship opportunities. There was different ways to connect these researchers, these research ideas with others in the community. How does Tech Launch Arizona, and in collaboration with these other partners in the community, How do we keep those great ideas here in Tucson? Who needs to be around the table to make that happen?
Right. Well, I don't know that we're always going to be successful in keeping them here. I think we need to do what's right as a community for the entrepreneurs. So we need to hook them up with the exact right person at the exact right time to help them succeed as a startup. And if that means they have to leave, or if that means they have a distributed team in other ecosystems, I think that's good. We shouldn't let them stay here and die because we feel like we should only hook them up with local talent. I mean, the fact of the matter is we have great stuff here in Tucson, but we don't have everything. We don't have all the ingredients of a perfect startup ecosystem. We have some talent gaps. So, but the good news is connecting startups that are born out of Tucson with top talent in other ecosystems will help the Tucson community grow. We'll actually have an economic development impact in Tucson because if you look at the research on what positively correlates with a startup's ultimate success, it's how well they are or how quickly they expand their global market reach and how quickly how deeply connected they are to the big local tech hubs in the world. Doing those two things increases the chance that they can grow their revenue, increases the chance that they can raise capital, increases the chance they can recruit top talent into key leadership roles. So we should do our best as a community to find the resources and the connections and the talent locally, but we should be willing to look outside Tucson. I think we have to if Tucson's going to grow. And that whole brain drain philosophy, there's a lot of research out there that kind of debunks that a little bit. People actually do end up coming back eventually. We got a lot of great stories about people who started companies and then left and we were sad and then they sold their company and then they came back and they got involved. They became investors. They started another company and they hired people locally. So we've got to take a long-term view. We got to take a long-term view.
Well, you were at the event on Thursday. You hope to involve innovators, entrepreneur service organizations that could be facilities, programming, mentoring, talent, executive leadership, CEOs, serial entrepreneurs, investors, corporations, and professional service providers. Is that, if you can get all those groups around the table, is that the goal of this unconference, to have all those different elements together? Is that a piece of the recipe of success in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. We, the tech launch, 14 startups come out of the university every year on average. That's a lot. I actually don't know how many startups are in Tucson, but I feel like that's 14 a year coming out of university is actually a pretty big chunk of the overall group of startups. We need to have a landing place for those startups when they come out of the university. We, like as Aline said, we can help them up to a certain point. Then there's going to be stuff they need that we can't help them with. And that could mean a tons of stuff. Could mean they need to raise capital, hire people. They might need very specific technical expertise. They might need a good lawyer. They might need a good accountant. So we're going to bring all those voices together in the room and understand what specific things we can do, what action we can take in the short term, and what relationships we can build, right? Building bridges. That's why we named the event that way.
Yeah. We have about 3.5 minutes left, and the time always flies. But the nature of an unconference, Aileen, is you get this brain trust in a room, right? And then you say, okay, what do we talk about? Right? It's not a front of the room, you know. It's an unconference, meaning the attendees design.
Right.
They will say, this is a huge gap. We got to tackle this.
Right.
That's a really cool format. Are you excited about what that's going to produce?
I am really excited. It's something that I haven't done a lot of work with in the past, but we've had some people go to like the Kauffman Foundation in Kansas City and had really, really successful unconference. So we've decided to try that approach with our events. We just had one earlier in October. It was called Flourish Here. It was an unconference focused on women in STEM and how we can get more women involved from the university side as researchers, but also more women from the community to come in as mentors. And that was really good. People were surprised that they had input and it wasn't just people standing up in front lecturing to them.
Right.
And I think that if we get all of our bridge builders in one place, they will come up with some great ideas. And I'm looking forward to that.
So if anyone listening has said, hey, you're calling the group that Zach just mentioned, I listed a whole list as bridge builders. I'm a bridge builder. I can be a mentor. I've formed a company. I have business experience. I can help lead an idea. I'm a service provider. I want to be a part of this. One more time, let's go through the when, the where, how to engage. What's the next step for anybody listening?
If they'd like to come to the UnConference, they can register, and I will spell out the website here where they can register. It's azbridgebuilders, all one word, .eventbrite, E-V-E-N-T-B-R-I-T-E, .com. azbridgebuilders.eventbrite.com, and they can register there. And if they register there, they will also be eligible to have a passport to 10 West.
Great.
And we'll take them to lunch right after the Bridge Builders Conference for the idea funding pitches. We do have a competition where our local startups can pitch to win a startup competition and get some money for their efforts. And that's happening. Part of that is happening at the lunch right after the Bridge Builders Conference.
Exciting. And that link makes it easy. You can find the time, the location, all the registration information you need is there. Again, Eileen and Shane, we're 2 days out from the event. It's on Thursday. Things are crazy. I appreciate your time. Really wanted to promote
Thank
this
you.
Ahead of time and encourage our community to come around what you're doing. Thanks for what you do. Shane Reiser, Eileen Dingus from Tech Launch Arizona. Good luck on Thursday, and we're behind you.
Thanks,
Zach. Thanks for having us.
We'll do this again soon.
Hope so.
Tucson, that was my conversation with Tech Launch Arizona about their Bridge Builders UnConference here at 10 West in Tucson on Thursday, October 17th from 8 a.m. to 12 o'clock. If you are in a position to be able to support innovators and entrepreneurs, definitely consider attending this event. When we come back, we'll talk more tech and how it's changing cities. Maybe not for the better. We'll see. Come on back after bottom of the hour news. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back into the show, the Creative City Show, where every day, Monday through Friday, we take a future forward look at Tucson. You know, I mentioned yesterday that our mayor, Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, brought in three mayors from around the country last Friday to talk about building innovative cities, designing, creating, catalyzing innovative cities. And I think it was the mayor of Pittsburgh, someone who in tough economic times, a city that was a manufacturing hub that found itself behind the curve of a rapidly changing economy. He said, the question that a city, that its people, that its citizens have to ask every single day is, do we want a world-class city? Do we want a world-class city? And are we willing to act like it? And that's, you know, I think that's what this show is about. What does a city that succeeds for everyone look like? And how can we, in our small way on this show, talk about the people and ideas and issues that will get us there? So thank you for listening. Thank you for engaging with that idea. 790-2040 is our Why I Love Where I Live live line, our special Tuesday live line, where you can jump on and add into the conversation. I wanted to talk a little bit about technology. We spent the first half of the hour with Tech Launch Arizona. Shane and Eileen came in to tell us about an event that they're putting on in the community on Thursday as a part of the 10 West Festival. It's called the Bridge Builders UnConference, bringing together so many of the different partners needed to get great ideas out of the university, commercialized out into the market, sold, patented, licensed, right? Our university is just churning great ideas out. But if there isn't a community around it to help those ideas get out of the classroom, get out of the research lab, and never see the light of day, then we're really missing out on a lot of potential. And so this is an exciting effort. And we've had Tech Launch Arizona on many times on the show, and we'll have them on many more times, because this what's called tech transfer or commercialization is such an important piece of an innovative city. And so we'll keep talking about that. But as we're talking about technology, it was interesting to see how much on accident, just in the news, some interesting stories about about technology, especially consumer technology, came across my desk, and it just seemed like it would fit together. More cuts at Uber was a news story that crossed my desk this morning. Uber will cut 350 jobs across units, including Uber Eats, citing bureaucracy that tends to creep as companies grow. While the cuts are the third round in recent months, bringing the total to 800, the new CEO said the latest are the last wave. Uber has come under increased scrutiny by investors since its May IPO, with its stock declining around 30% and many questioning its path to affordability. And so I saw that on a source that I often recommend here on the air. I always find it valuable. LinkedIn. LinkedIn does a daily news, kind of a news blurb where it summarizes events that are happening. Then you can look at the larger story. But also coming across my desk was an article out of The Atlantic's that has the headline, "The Millennial Urban Lifestyle is About to Get More Expensive. As WeWork crashes," this is the co-working company, global company, undergoing major financial and leadership challenges right now, "and Uber bleeds cash, the consumer tech gold rush may be coming to an end." And it was interesting to see how some groups that look at what happens in cities reported on this. They shared the article out. I often refer to this group. It's called Strawn Towns, but it talks about how consumer technology may be actually making things more expensive and more spread out than less, like we thought that it would. The millennial urban lifestyle is about to get more expensive, you know, technology is this interesting thing where it can make our lives better, but it can also have unintended consequences. About a decade ago, a fleet of well-known startups promised to change the way we work, the way we work out, the way we eat, the way we shop, the way we cook, commute, and sleep. These lifestyle adjustment companies were so influential that wannabe entrepreneurs, you've heard this before, saw them as a template, flooding Silicon Valley with Uber for X pitches, right? You've heard this, right? Uber for dog owners, right? Uber for food. If you've watched Shark Tank, you've seen this. But as their promises soared, writes The Atlantic, their profits didn't. It's easy to spend all day riding unicorns whose most magical property is their ability to combine high valuations with persistently negative earnings, something I've pointed out before, says the writer. These companies don't give away cold, hard cash as blatantly as an app they mentioned, but they're not so different from the restaurant app. To maximize customer growth, they have strategically, or at least in quotes, strategically throttled their prices, in effect providing a massive consumer subsidy. You might call it the millennial lifestyle sponsorship, in which tech companies, along with their venture capital backers, help fund the daily habits of their disproportionately young and urban user base. With each Uber ride, WeWork membership, and hand-delivered dinner, the typical consumer has been getting a sweetheart deal. For consumers, it's a magnificent deal, a capital-to-labor transfer of wealth in pursuit of long-term profit, the sort of thing that might simultaneously please Bernie Sanders and the ghost of Milton Friedman. But this was never going to last forever. WeWork's disastrous IPO attempt has triggered reverberations across the industry. The theme of consumer tech has shifted from magic to margins. Venture capitalists and startup founders alike have re-embraced an old mantra: profits matter. And higher profits can only mean one thing: urban lifestyles are about to get more expensive. So it's interesting as we take Tuesdays to kind of be our what if hour, where we look at trends, we look at big ideas, we look at things shaping communities. And by the way, this is when we talk about WeWork, we talk about Uber, we talk about, you know, food courier apps or things like that. These are, if you talk to the people who use them or who serve through these apps. This is not geographically limited to a small radius around the U of A. I mean, this is Vail, this is Oro Valley, this is Marana. It's interesting as we look at communities where it's actually cheaper to buy a home than rent. Or we look at communities where the wage that is being paid through even a mid-wage job isn't keeping up with costs. When we look at how the economic expansion of the last 40 or 50, even 70 years in the U.S. has come with an increasing disparity between those who have and those who don't. These are the kind of movements and pieces that create, I think, the conversation that we have today. This is a what if hour. I don't know if I necessarily have the solution, but it's interesting. Over the last couple weeks, to see WeWork crash, to see Uber start to have cuts, to see how the Yon City resident budget is going to get more expensive if they don't have it switch. I just think it's an interesting trend to be looking at. How do we make sure, from a personal responsibility standpoint, from a business success and business responsibility standpoint, from a citywide perspective, you know, how do we make sure that we're making the right decisions that allow a right to remain and a right to enter? And what I mean by that is, if you live in a community, you can stay living in a community. And if you want to put down roots and you want to be in a community, you can enter that community. So just thought I would put that on the radar, that tech has been changing the way that we do things, but not necessarily always for the better. And I think we have to always be critically looking at it. Similarly to this, I thought it was interesting, and this is my last tech item here. DoorDash, if you've heard of DoorDash, enters the restaurant business. It's testing a shared commissary kitchen in California. This is kind of cool, in which a handful of restaurants will cook together under one roof for to-go customers only. As I've just kind of kept the pulse of the community, it's interesting how, in my view, apps like DoorDash, basically, think about your mom and pop restaurant. DoorDash is an app that allows somebody to do takeout from that restaurant, right? So you think of Jack in the Box, or you think of, you know, McDonald's, you think of takeout restaurants. Well, there are sit-down restaurants that now use the app DoorDash, where you can, from your home, order what you want, and it gets delivered. In many ways, I think I would imagine that it's actually increased productivity, right? Because if you have only, I'll walk into restaurants where there's only five customers sitting down, but there are DoorDash drivers in and out all the time that are bringing food to people who didn't want to go to the restaurant, but they want to eat the food in their home. And so as I read a pessimistic view of technology and lifestyle and cities, I actually think this idea is pretty cool. You get restaurants together under one roof, and it's only for to-go customers. So I'm kind of a futurist. I'm always looking at what is tech doing well, and what are some of the problems that tech may create, and how does the economy fit into that? So that was the ride that you put your seatbelt on for our last half of the hour. When I come back, I want to talk about deceiving headlines. There's a couple of headlines that have been in local news that I don't know necessarily do issues justice, and one that I think does. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about that here on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. Our Why I Love Where I Live live line is 790-2040. Come on in, join the conversation. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back to the program. It's our Tuesday edition of the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice, where daily we talk about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. It's also our what if. We spend usually half of the hour talking about big ideas that could have a big impact on Tucson, and we have been taking that theme, and we started the hour with Tech Launch Arizona. They're a commercialization initiative out of the University of Arizona that looks to get ideas out of the classroom into the community, great ideas that are being researched. How do we get them out into the world, see the light of day to benefit Tucson and our region and beyond? Our city, frankly, will not be as successful as it could be unless the University of Arizona, in this case, is getting those ideas out and being a part of that, and unless the University of Arizona is a community driver of entrepreneurship. And I think the signs are there that both are true. But as always, it needs a lot more effort, a lot more work, a lot more intentionality, and I think community support. So we're on the right track, I think, but a long ways to go. Shane Reiser, the commercialization network manager, which means it's a glorified way of saying matchmaker, is encouraged that the University of Arizona gets 14 startups out a year. So that's 14 research initiatives or inventions that become startups, 14 a year. But my hunch is that lags many universities around the country. So it's that case for me where 14 is good, 40 would be better, right? And so how do we say, hey, 14 is great, but not sit there and in 5 years say, hey, we have 15 or we have 16. How do we take that from 20 to 100, so to speak? How do we move the needle on that? So that's what we spent this hour on. If you missed any of our show today, you can go on our podcast, either iTunes, Google Play Music, or kvui.com/podcast and listen back to the full replays, and I certainly hope that you do. I think the one that would be of a lot of interest to many of you listening is the Rare Hour. I don't really do hour interviews anymore, but I did a Rare Hour interview with Sarah Garrett Gaston, the opinion editor from the Arizona Daily Star, where I collected all of my thoughts and your thoughts on why certain things were written about or decided on, all the above, as they endorsed the candidates for mayor and council and provided a recommendation on Prop 205. So I did my best with the platform we have here to kind of combine everything that I was seeing out on social media, hearing from you on the phones, and I had her for an hour and I asked her those questions, and I thought it was a really solid interview. I really do. But what matters is if you did. So I'd love for you to take a listen and hopefully it provides some value. Again, go listen to our podcast on that. Speaking of mayoral and city council, I have Ed Ackerley in studio. I just want to keep putting that on your calendar. On Friday, my 9 o'clock hour will be 100% spent with Dr. Ed Ackerley. He's the independent running for Tucson mayor here in the general. Ballots are out. You should have received ballots in the mail. So as you're sorting through that, as you're making any final decisions, we'll have Dr. Ed Ackerley as here in studio on Friday. We'll have outgoing mayor Jonathan Rothschild in for a full hour on Monday. I wanted to take a look at what he thinks about the city as he's leaving. What's the future look like? A lot of folks have done what's happened? What are you proud of in the past? I want to go on a journey with him into the future and see what he sees as things that he's glad he's done, things that he hopes continues, things that he's encouraged about, worried about. What does he see for the future of Tucson? And what can the next mayor do to keep our city going where it needs to be? And then I will have Regina Romero on next week as well. So we're closing in, have those interviews, want to keep putting those on your calendar. It was interesting. This is how we'll close today. When I had Sarah Garrett Gaston in the studio, there was a headline that was written in their recommendation of Lane Santa Cruz over Sam Nagy. And the big kind of hubbub was the headline spoke to Lane Santa Cruz's experience over Sam Nagy's. And the question was, well, neither have had you know, formal elected political experience. Lane has had some city council experience and some activism experience, but there is, you know, it's not like a Michael Hicks race or, you know, maybe a Nikki Lee race. I mean, they're in the same race, but it was just weird to compare two relatively kind of fresh faces as, you know, one having more experience. And so it was interesting to me to hear Sarah Garrett Gasson say, you know, that was not a headline that should have gone out. That's my fault as the editor. I didn't write it, but it goes through me first. That was a bad headline. And I was reading a couple of Daily Star write-ups on Ed Ackerley and Regina Romero, and I kind of sort of had the same feeling, and I thought I would comment on that before we close out. These were written on Sunday. In Race for Tucson Mayor, Ackerley wants to focus on core services, and the other one was environment, education, top priorities for Romero in Race for Tucson Mayor. I think just objectively, I think the article headline for Ed Ackerley is pretty correct. The one thing that I've been really curious about is that throughout the primary, you know, Ed Ackerley had a diverse array of public policy positions on a diverse array of issues, and you can see that on his website. Since and into the general, he's really narrowed down his message into core services, right? A message that I think is a good one. I think we got to focus on our core services. And this write-up on Ed Ackerley talks a lot about core services. But I think where it didn't do justice, I know you have limited space, limited words, is I think Ed Ackerley has a lot of really good ideas on stuff that is not necessarily just tied to core services. And I'm not necessarily sure that he's had the opportunity to or taken the opportunity to express what I've gotten in interviews with him, a wide array of public policy positions on a wide array of issues. He's kind of narrowed himself down into core services. But I think this headline, as we're talking about headlines, did a pretty good job, but I think it's more broad than that. And I kind of felt the same way about the article, but a little more strongly, the article about Regina Romero, environment, education, top priorities for Romero and Race for Tucson Mayor. I think the title is a little bit of a misnomer, in the sense that if you get past the title, if you have looked at some of the platform positions, a lot of the education being talked about for sure is K through 12, no doubt. And I've said a lot on the air. My concern with that always is that it's not really a part of the city charter. Mayors don't have, and systems like ours really control over K through 12 education. But it's pretty clear as you get through the article that the education, a large piece that is being talked about, is workforce development. And I would say, regardless of the party label, regardless of the candidate, Tucson has a drastic workforce development problem. We need to work with Pima Community College. We need to work with the U of A. We need to work with our education partners to make sure that the 25-year-old and the 40-year-old has the opportunity to get education as their industry changes. We are underemployed in Tucson, right? We have jobs to be had, not enough people to fill them because we haven't fully figured out workforce development, right? A business-friendly, business-focused group like the Metro Chamber, and I've given them props for this specifically on the air before, and I'm genuine about it, is their focus on workforce development. So if that's an education priority, that's one I can get behind, because that's an economic development issue. That is a issue of economic growth. That is an issue of providing our companies and our small and large businesses alike with the talent that that they need. The other item is, and I won't disagree that environment and education seem to be top priorities, but you know, I think that Regina Romero has a at least in writing, and if she were to be elected, like Ed Ackerley, we'd have to see the action to prove the words. But I'm looking at it from an objective standpoint. I think the headline of the article stereotypes a candidate that has a much broader platform. That's not an endorsement. That's not a backing up of a candidate or another. I just think that sometimes headlines like this reinforce narrow views of a subject that don't help the fuller picture. And what was interesting, I think, why I brought it up is because in the endorsement of Regina Romero by the Daily Star here in the General, that they spoke to a wide array of issues that were not just environment and education. I certainly think, and I don't think that I know, Regina Romero has a very progressive agenda that's going to lean more on those issues than an Ed Ackerley. But there are things in Regina Romero's platform that deal with workforce development, innovation, economic development. You know, should she, and she certainly is the front runner for the position at this moment, I think that it will be on the community to understand the broadness of the platform and to push for those things to happen, because I think that they need to happen. So those are my thoughts on a couple of the latest political writings. Headlines and newspaper writings are tricky because you have limited space and limited time. But here on the radio, we have time to get into it. Agree, disagree, I missed something, totally off base. I love it all. TheCreativeCityShow@gmail.com is the email you can use to message me. Our live line was sponsored by Why I Love Where I Live. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about 409 raises for mayor and council. Stick around. See you, Tucson.